You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
All right, today is July 9th, 2016. I'm in the live stream for the first time in a while. I've got my old friend Frank, an ounce of salt per day, from howtotakecareofyourpenis.wordpress.com on the line. And I'll just welcome him right away. Welcome, Frank.
Thank you, but you're inaccurate, of course. It's the 10th of July.
All right. Well, I'm accurate
for nearly 11 hours.
All right. Well, I'm accurate here, but I'll allow you to be right in your section of the world. Frank, always the contrarian. I have always enjoyed contrarian point of views.
Although it seems that on salt, I'm not very contrarian at all anymore. It seems like in an instant, the whole world has just rolled over on this topic. It's really fascinating.
Well, you follow that more than I do, as you probably follow another one of my less exciting subjects, Dallas Goldbug, but I'll allow you to take that point. I'll agree with you. I'm not looking for salt. I'm not looking for salt articles, but I assume you are.
Well, it's just been I'm in that salt business. I mean, I make and sell salt flakes, and the people in my life who have been listening to me harangue them for years suddenly have just acknowledged that all the signs are saying go for it. Doctors, nurses, just astonishing.
Well, I have something of interest to contribute to your salt vocabulary, your salt Wikipedia. I drove through on my little mini vacation a place called Chaplin, Saskatchewan. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't, but I'll. I think it's where potash comes from, though.
Well, Saskatchewan is the potash capital of Canada, if not the world.
Yes, it would be.
And there is a lake in Chaplin called, surprisingly not, Chaplin Lake. Yep. And I'm going to read about it, but now I see there's no Wikipedia entry for it, so I'll backspace and have a read about it, because I thought when I was driving through, I was looking at snow. Now, of course, snow does not normally sit on the ground at over 20 Celsius, so I had to make another assessment quickly to determine what these piles of white stuff were on the side of the highway.
Yeah, salt.
And, of course, this is up your alley. This is where we link to you. It says, as well as being the home of for shorebirds, the main business of Chaplin also uses the sodium sulfate deposits of Chaplin Lake. Saskatchewan Minerals, a private company, harvests the sodium sulfate through an evaporation method. Large salt deposits are visible from the Trans-Canada Highway. So that's what I was looking at.
Right, so sodium sulfate isn't what we commonly call salt, which is sodium chloride. But in fact, it's a pretty rare mineral, sodium sulfate.
Okay, well, I drove through a lot of it, so where I was, it was not rare.
Isn't that fantastic? Hey, it'd be really interesting. Did you take photos?
I did take photos, and I took about over 2,000 photos on my little journey, so I'll have to find them for you.
Yeah,
but in the
really
meantime, if you go to Wikipedia, Chaplin Lake, there is a picture, an aerial photo of the area that I drove through.
And is it just like Charlie Chaplin, or is it Chaplain or something?
No, Charlie Chaplin. I'll put the link in the chat here.
Chaplin, Saskatchewan, Wikipedia.
Yeah, I put the link in chat.fakeologist.com.
Okay.
Or should I say fakeologist.com/chat? That's what I should say.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not the point of this website, of course. The point of this website is, of course, fakeology and fakery. And it's been a busy week, just as we were discussing how they were. I thought there was a lull in PSYOPs. We just were getting machine gunned by them right now.
That's a really good way to put it. So I've been asking in the chat, what do you think the purpose of it is, Ed?
Well, I like Jay's analysis, jaysanalysis.com, who has been on hoaxbusterscall.com a lot lately.
Yeah.
And I think he's got some good analysis, and he's basically – there's so multi-purposed. It's you'd have to make a list of what you think the reasons are. One of them I thought was – I still think the United States is unique in the world with this gun third – or what is it, First Amendment, right? Yes. I think that's got to be the toughest nut in their one world government to crack. Now, I don't really see that it's a big deal to crack, but obviously they do.
Right. Okay. I think what you're saying is plausible, yeah?
If they can get the generations, this generation and the next generation and the not even thought about generation to rise up and make the very, very difficult numerically to achieve amendment to amend the amendment, because it just takes a massive majority in so many levels of the government. They made it really difficult to unravel. But if they are able to do that over the next 100 years, I think that certainly could be a goal. It's not next week's goal, the next month's goal, but I believe it's the next generation or two, that goal.
Right. So you think it's that far away?
I think they all are. I think the United States is the last big major player to whip into order, New World Order.
Right.
I think it's the most decentralized country in the world. It's really the richest, most vast decentralized country in the world. And to create a centralized authority out of a decentralized by design corporation or country would be a very long-term project.
Yeah.
They set the whole country up to be independent of a federal or a royal ruler. Yet, of course, they love royalty, and they make the president, who is relatively powerless, into a royal figure. I guess it's just a human tendency.
So I'm intrigued by a couple of things I would have said in what you said are a little bit tangled up. First of all, you have the view that there's a 100-year plan ahead to make a change. Now, that's clearly more than a typical working man's lifetime. So that implies that you think somehow the plan is going to be sustained, you know, over 100 years without someone forgetting about it. How is that going to happen?
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, because I just think that there's a ruling class. I've always thought there's a ruling class. It's a nobility of, as you were, of dukes and duchesses and royalty and super wealthy, which may or may not be the same people. And that is their business, the business of herding cattle, which is you and me.
Okay, and you think you have the view that people born into that class don't get any qualms in their of conscience about doing the things that their parents teach them to do?
I think there's no qualms. When you're born into the business of tobacco or any other what appears to be harmful business, you just do it for the money. You just get past the minor and you're in their eyes problems with the business. For instance, how could anyone of good conscience be a tobacco executive now?
Well, I guess I would suggest to you that the anti-tobacco thing is fraudulent.
Do you think the anti-tobacco is say again?
I think the anti-tobacco stuff is fraudulent. I think it's a total...
controlled opposition?
Well, the word that springs to mind is that it's a plonk, because...
a plonk?
I just pulled that word out of nowhere, but, you know, just for... what can I say? The people that smoke the most live the longest. Why is that?
Well, I don't know if that's true. I think I'm not sure. I know too many people that are not with us anymore that I'm related to that did smoke and didn't get into their 50s. So I just won't agree with that.
But 30% of people that have lung cancer are non-smokers.
I don't know if that's true either.
And so I'll just state a few things that are that we can they're easily verifiable. The other thing is that Japanese people who smoke heavily, of course, have the longest lifespans.
Well, I'm just not going to I'm just not going to logically agree that filling your lungs up with smoke makes any kind of biological sense. So I'm just
okay. So here's where it does make biological sense. It contains cigarettes contain a chemical called acetylcholine, which is essential for heart health, and which as people get older, their ability to produce acetylcholine falls. Now, I'm not a smoker, but the...
I know, you're a salter.
A salter, but the evidence appears to be that the increase in lung cancer that was observed in the Western world closely corresponds with diesel particulate, the introduction of diesel engines and particulates on the streets. And it was very interesting that the anti-smoking rhetoric occurred about that time. And there was a similar discussion in the chat really about asbestos. And in Canada, which was a town very famous for its producing a very benign form of asbestos called chrysotile, that industry got wiped out, really, even though it was a very safe and useful product.
Okay. So is there a backstory to that? Is there a way to understand what happened there?
Yeah, again, it appears to be that that Lloyd's of London signed up a whole bunch of names.
Okay.
And those people,
all right,
just out of the blue, and those people lost all lost vast amounts of money. Some of them, you know, their homes, because when you act as a name for Lloyd's, you essentially take a risk that's many times the benefit you might receive. The idea is that it's unlikely. So those names were in the case of Australian names that were asked to join Lloyd's out of the blue in the early 80s, they all got wiped out by the 9/11 saga when they had to pay out on the insurance for the destruction of their towers. In fact, they paid out two times.
Yeah, so you're saying there was probably some real shakedowns money-wise with 9/11? So because it was... In my opinion anyway, I can't remember what yours is, a completely engineered media fakery event, but there was probably some real transactions that went through because of it.
That's right.
Because I don't, for instance, I highlighted on my blog a post from Clues Forum about Larry Silverstein, and I don't believe any of the numbers, I don't believe any of the money that is purported to have moved because of his insurance policies here, or any of that story. I consider all that fiction.
Okay. So my understanding is that the Australian names that Lloyd's had asked to join the insurance company, it's a kind of unprecedented event occurred, really, where Lloyd's more or less allowed wealthy Australians that weren't normally of the type they would ask to become involved with the Lloyd's insurance business. And you know, those are wealthy farmers and so on, you know, and they're probably at least 50 plus. And they effectively were wiped out by the 9/11, financially wiped out by the 9/11. And many of the...
And that's according to the media?
No, it wasn't discussed in the media at all. I actually did have the records of it, and I kind of lost track of it. I'm sure I'd be able to reconstruct, and I'll do that at some stage. And the net effect of the 9/11 was that Lloyd's of London disappeared and AIG took them over. So AIG now owns Lloyd's of London.
So you think there was a financial shell game that was a result of 9/11?
Yeah, that was one of the main effects. Is that?
Do you think it might have taken out a whole level of rich people by another higher level of more rich people?
Yeah, that was, I think, really what it was happening. It was the blue bloods taking out the people that had become wealthy as a result of industrialization, or in the case of Australia,
I like that. The
wool trade.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's good. There's so many bigger chess games over the little people that at least I am.
Yeah. No, I think that was really one of the key things. And, you know, again, from a Dallas Goldpug point of view, I personally don't have any difficulty with the view that Larry Silverstone is a character played by the same fellow that played George Costanza's father in.
Yeah, but you see that since our conversations always come back to Dallas Goldbug, who I think is somewhat disinformation, I think a majority by this blog think the same way. I think what that does, I've said this many times too, that it takes the concept of actor and makes it ridiculous by equating two people that are not alike and calling them actor, interchangeable actors, when in fact the real story is that in the psychological operations, there are paid people that are paid. They're real people that possibly their real name, probably their real name, that get lifetime roles acting out a part in a long, long-term psyop, psyops that don't go away. So, for instance, JFK, 9/11. There aren't that many long-term actor characters involved in these psyops. You would think there's hundreds and thousands, but there's only a few key ones that create an impression, well, the impression's created by the media that they own. But there's only a few long-term actors, and Larry Silverstein would have been recruited at some point through whatever entanglements he had with the Blue Bloods and was created. Now, there's no doubt he was probably given a good salary, like Tom Cruise is given a good salary. I don't know if they get big, huge lump payments. Somehow I think that they would get a combination or a hybrid payment system. That way they wouldn't run off with all the gold. So that would encourage them to stay in the game. Although they wouldn't have much choice anyhow, because you could easily destroy their character or I guess you could even shoot them, for that matter, get someone to shoot them. So I think there's a million zillion techniques to keep people in line.
50 different ways to leave your lover, is that what you're saying?
Oh, there's so many ways, and we just aren't familiar with them because we're not in that game. But here's just from humansarefree.com, just one quick Google search that brings up 13 names. Now, I'm not going to say that these are the 1 of 1% elite, but we get names like Rothschild, which that name, of course, is number one on every Illuminati exposers list. Number two, we have Bruce, we have Cavendish, De Medici, Hanover, Habsburg, Krupp, Plantagenet, Rockefeller, Romanov, Sinclair, Warburg, Windsor, Sinclair, St. Clair, Warburg, Del Banco, or Windsor as Saxe, Coburg, Goethe, which I think is the queen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's right.
And here's another interesting article, or another interesting paragraph. The most important institutions that work hard to establish the New World Order and completely enslave our species are the City of London, which is the finance,
yep,
not part of the United Kingdom. The U.S. Federal Reserve, it says not part of the USA, and owned by the Rothschilds, which is, again, the Rothschilds would be the front. They'd be the front name group with a, probably a healthy stake. They'd be the managers of the super wealthy, but they're the ones that choose the role to be out in the front. And we have the Vatican City. And they say they're in charge of indoctrination, deception, scare tactics, and then they're not part of Italy. Then we have Washington, D.C., the military mind program, brainwashing and depopulation part, and again, not part of the United States. So that, I think that's pretty interesting. And we've talked about that, or I've talked about it many times.
Now, that last one is interesting to me, to say that the U.S. military is not part of the United States. I certainly haven't heard that before.
Well, they're just saying Washington, D.C. Now, the military, I think they're just alluding to the fact that Washington is the military arm of the whole world domination plan. In other words, the United States has most of their country devoted to a military output. But I don't think that means the military is not in the United States. I think it just means that Washington, D.C. is a separate entity, corporation that's not really subject to anything American,
right? You know, okay.
Anything to do with the states. It's an interesting distinction. It looks and seems like it's part of the U.S. and it's deep inside of it, but it's not part of it. And I think the average person would think, Washington is separated from the rest of us. They're out of touch. But no, they are literally, legally not part of the United States. That is what should be emphasized.
Yeah, okay. So the other thing that's interesting to me, of course, is that the idea that it's a new world order rather than the existing world order. There doesn't seem to be any. Yeah, there's been anything but a particular world order.
I agree.
Order.
It's just it's the evolving world order. It should be the EWO. It's here and it's established. It just keeps concentrating over time, like salt. We're just.
Why like salt?
Am I better? I don't know. Well, salt is, you mine it. You just keep piling it up. It gets deeper and thicker and. We're in a salt mine. We're still digging. It's ongoing. It's piling up. You know how salt layers. I get layers of salt in my car. By the end of the winter, I have to chip it out of the wheel with the footwells.
I presume it just destroys your car, does it?
Oh yes, But it also keeps the car on the road, so you have a choice. You can drive your car off the road in the winter and destroy it, or you can let the salt slowly destroy it. But keep you on the road. You have a choice.
Okay.
And they actually, getting back on the salt subject, they actually use a salt brine now. They've been using it for the last 10 years. So instead of just throwing big chunks of rock salt on the road, and they often just fly up and smash your windshield, they've switched to a salt brine, which they pre-treat the road with if they know there's going to be freezing temperatures within the next 12 hours, so they apply a salt brine. I don't know if it's any more effective or if there's any studies on its efficacy, but that's what they do now.
Okay. And so you don't have an opinion on whether it's more effective or not?
I don't know. I know one thing that I have been told. I think it's calcium chloride. I know that because it comes, it's distributed in a liquid form, it does get in more cracks and crevices than ever before. So more parts of vehicles are destroyed now.
Oh, right. That's interesting.
So it gets into the most, it gets into the deepest pockets of vehicles. And then the vehicles get eaten from the inside out.
Wow. Yeah, so I drive a car which is now 20 years old with no body corrosion at all because we don't have salt in our roads.
And you're also not near salt water where you would get a salt, a mist now and then.
Yeah, in fact, I live in a seaside town. The Geelong is right on the coast.
So there's no effect from the salt, salty air?
No.
Because I've been on coastal towns, and if you open your mouth on some days, you can get a salt taste.
Yeah, that's right. Again, it's interesting. It's one of the many things
Is the Golden Gate Bridge affected by salt corrosion? Let's Google that.
Yeah, it would be. And they will have a thing called anodic or cathodic protection on that bridge. Which is
right, so it would be grounded in a way. So it would ground out the chemical reaction.
Now what they do is they have a sacrificial piece of steel, several pieces of steel that are in the seawater. There's an electric current established.
All right, I get it. Did you say are you somewhat of an engineer by trade?
Yeah, I'm a mining engineer. In fact, my qualifications are Bachelor of Science, Bachelor of Engineering, MBA, and my manager's certificates in several states.
Very good. Are you old enough to have seen the movie? I just saw it today. Just came across my my wires. And I posted a couple. That's not interesting to you. It was done by someone named David Weiss, not the David Weiss that involved in the conspiracy community. And the movie's called The Way Things Go. Actually, you can buy it, and if you want to find it online, that's up to you. But there is a clip of it on YouTube that I posted at moreab.fakeologist.com. And I'm wondering, as an engineer, I'm not an engineer, but as someone who likes things that make things move or chemical reactions and pyrotechnics, you might like this movie.
Okay. The Way Things Go.
And it's from the 80s. And I just saw it in a museum. And
in a museum.
Instead of looking at walls, instead of looking at walls with really bad paintings that I don't consider art, I just stood in this room for the half an hour and watched this whole movie. I was kind of stunned that it was in a museum.
Okay. Just watching a brief description of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
on YouTube.
By Fishley and Weiss. I think I'll play a bit of it. Is it coming through?
Yes. There's one of those mechanical things going through Like a mousetrap game.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's exactly. It's a 30-minute mousetrap game, and now I know they use clips, because I found a couple splices in it.
Yeah.
But all the same, to make this thing work is fantastic.
I used to make those things when I was at high school. Exactly like this.
Yeah, it won a lot of awards. Won a lot of awards in its time.
So when was that filmed?
In the 80s.
Right.
Remember the 80s?
So I was, in the 80s, I was in a mining town and kind of lost touch with the world for quite a few years. I lived right in the middle of Australia.
All right. Well, I never saw this in the 80s, but I think you might enjoy it. It's not Fakeology, but I do post other things on my other blog, morab.fakeologist.com, so people are welcome to go there.
So getting back to your earlier comments about the 100 years, your view is that it's this group of families is able to maintain this but still just live normal lifespans. Is that more or less it?
Yes, yes. I know where you're going with this. I think we've discussed it before. I think it's a family business. And of course, they created the whole concept of the corporation so that when a person died, a business didn't go with them. So I don't think there's any problem understanding that Walmart carries on after Sam Walnut dies, and that every other business, as long as it's managed properly, will stay in business. So there's no reason to think that the people that set up all aspects of our lives in corporations, mind you. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that the police force, that the fire department, their local town, they're all corporations. So the corporations that own these corporations are just bigger and private and layered, and their owners hidden quite successfully.
But presumably the ownership can be uncovered then with some work.
Well, yes, but who's going to uncover it? Just like whoever was watching the Twin Towers come down that day. Who are they going to call?
Why wouldn't they call? Again, I'm guessing it's probably just a matter of running it down. Okay, so that's interesting.
Well, I mean, even if someone called Fakeologist's hotline, which can be found, of course, at fakeologist.com/contact, even if someone called me, I couldn't verify their identity or the veracity of their story.
Okay.
The point being is that if someone did know the identity of these 13 or 300 or 3,000 families, who would report it?
And what about the fact that these families must be increasing exponentially in size?
Well, I like your. This will segue back to your original comment that if we have a group of up and comers that want to jockey out of place, they can set up these large financial stings to vacuum out their holdings. Corporate espionage. I'm assuming the intel agency's primary job is corporate espionage.
Right. A bit like patent system or something.
Whatever. Even if you do patent something, what good is it if you can't market it? You can have all the patents in the world. Someone could rip you off. I think the patent system is probably a pretty pretty weak honeypot to just suck people in and get their inventions out there faster so they can get stolen.
Yeah, I agree. I think the patent system is specifically designed to do the opposite of what we're told it should do.
Yeah, I'm sure there are compensations, but this is a low level ways of capturing ideas, and I'm sure there's compensation, but probably not. You couldn't just get Apple if you invented the iPhone to hand over all the shares. I mean, even the guy that allegedly invented the intermittent wipers, it took him a long time to allegedly be paid off, maybe 30 years later.
And did he get paid off, did he?
I can't remember. I just remember it took years, and he got a settlement, and he might have even worked for GM, and they said, any ideas you come up with are ours anyhow, but you can Google it, I suppose, intermittent wipers, and see if you can pull up the story, if it's true or not. This is the beauty of what we do. We even the stories we pull up, of course, we question the media. So how do you even know the story's true?
I guess I assume if it's in the media, it's not true. So a little bit worse.
I know. We go through this all the time. We're in such a conundrum. All our references are to the media that we don't trust.
Yeah.
So how the hell, how do you have a clue what's going on? You just don't. Unless you get out there and use your own eyes, but we know that the outside world is heavily cordoned off.
I never physically saw the Twin Tower buildings. They existed, I assume.
Yeah, well, my parents saw the hole. They went a week later. It was, the buildings were missing a week later.
I saw the buildings were missing a week later.
That's what they told me.
But I thought they were doing the cleanup for months.
Well, they went the next week to New York for for a wedding, and the buildings were not there. That's as eyewitness as I can get.
So do you know, so you don't know personally if the buildings were there in the first place?
No, I don't. Well, actually, I did go to New York a long time ago, but I was too young to even care.
Yeah. No, I went there not long after it all happened, maybe a year, and it was a big hole in the ground. So, yeah, obviously the buildings were taken down if they were up.
They were taken down by design. They were put up by design in order to be taken down. I don't think at any point were they ever intended to go more than 33 years.
Is that possible? Sure, I didn't think that design. Was 33 years, was it?
Oh, it was 33 years from the first shovel turning to the day of destruction.
Right. My favorite reference like that is the way it mimics the Samson pulling the columns down in the... You know, he pushed the columns apart and collapses. In the Bible, Samson pushes the columns apart, collapses the temple, and just under 3,000 people are killed.
According to the story, yeah.
Right.
How much time do you have tonight, Frank? I got a few more minutes.
Yeah, a few more minutes. I'm doing a show with Johnny Galvin about the vacuum of space.
Johnny Galvin. Yeah, why don't you plug a few of the things you've been doing lately?
I have done that. I put that link to that show in the chat, inviting people to join in if they want to ring in.
Okay, well, I'll put it in the chat again.
Okay.
That's going to be on Blog Talk, or?
Yeah, on Blog Talk Radio, so I'll just throw it in.
Oh, the fidelity on that system's awful.
Is it?
Oh, it's unlistenable, usually. What did they use about 2K streaming?
Do they really?
Well, unless he pays for an account, they just give you the absolute slimmest of pieces of bandwidth.
Right. Okay.
I think they let you say every other word comes through.
So you have to speak slowly.
Say everything twice.
It's a shame more people don't use this TeamSpeak thing because it's really good, isn't it?
Well, I've cobbled together a bootstrap. Concoction. I've got a bunch of programs linked together that work to make it work on a live stream. It's not as elegant by any means as Blog Talk with the nice radio console, simulated radio console by software, but yeah, it works for me. It keeps me off the proprietary networks.
Right. I read a thing
in
Skype.
It's a shame more people don't audio chat.
I found it strange to read that Skype maintains ownership of the first 45 minutes of any conversation.
Where'd you see that? That's fascinating.
I'll have to have a look. I thought I saw it in one of the conditions. And the fact that I remember the first 45 minutes, it might be real.
Yeah, 4 plus 5, anyway, yeah. Mm-hmm. It says in the TeamSpeak window you're using Overwolf, and I can't remember what that means.
No, I've got no idea what it is either. It came with it when I downloaded TeamSpeak. This Overwolf came with it. And I first time I put it in, I blocked it out, and I forgot to do that this time. I don't really know what the Overwolf thing does.
Me neither. I think it's something to do with talking over people in your video game sessions, your interactive video games, something like that.
Right.
I just posted a link, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, boy, one of the problems is when I'm editing a post, I can't use this hotkey. Oh, well. Oh, boy, the vagaries, the ins and outs of computers are so hilarious. They're so unusable, really, to the average person. But anyway, I did a post on Miles Mathis, who I still like, even though he's always fishing for Jews, which just totally distracts from the message. I guess that's by design, though. But he does a piece on the BP oil spill. Quite interesting.
What does he say about it?
Well, I haven't even finished the post. But he goes all over the place. But he was just saying that if it was not real, then it was definitely managed in a, in an amazing way, saying that after the Exxon Valdez sank and there were huge fines to be paid, after BP allegedly ruined the Gulf of Mexico and huge fines were paid, their dividends and their stocks went up. Their income, their profit went up. So his contention is these events were created to increase profits because they own the solution to the oil spill. So, for instance, Corexit was used, allegedly backed by Kevin Costner, which is, to me, total nonsense and propaganda, but maybe Corexit is a real thing. And that was used, I believe, to help defuse the oil spill, if it was used at all, if it even exists at all. But huge money was transacted to pay for the cleanup. And the oil companies, I think it said Exxon owned the patent or owned the, or somehow Rockefeller owned the rights to Corexit. So they make money going up and down both ways.
Yeah.
And it's just fascinating. The swindle is just amazing.
The interesting thing, you know, in that same vein is Evil Edna and Dal Tampra were posting stuff about the French Revolution being now obviously a hoax and Napoleon's family being given an estate in the United Kingdom. Their family was given handsome stipend from the English government.
Well, I think there was a story about the Nazi Hess, who allegedly wanted to make peace outside of Hitler's government, and he landed and crashed or landed somehow in northern England, and then he was arrested and put in the top of a tower for a long time. But
he was in Spain. Sure he was one of only two people in some Spanish prison for the rest of his life, was the story.
He wasn't in the UK, in England?
No, I think he was in a Spanish prison.
I think he was in England, but my point is he probably was in England, but I doubt he was in jail.
Me too. And I certainly doubt, in the same vein, that Rolf Harris is in a jail. So, you know, the talk about this pedophilic activities of various people in the UK in recent times.
I hate pedophilia, and I just hate even following it, and I don't know if it's an instrument to destroy characters or it is real. I just find it disgusting. Like most people, just totally distasteful to even read about.
Well, the thing is that there was a fellow called Cliff High who does this predictive, you know, he reckons he can forecast what's going to come by this use of crawling bots through the internet, etc., etc. Have you heard of Cliff High and Half Past Human?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, it's obviously, again, another kind of disinfo unit. But they were talking about they were predicting that these celebrities in England were going to be convicted of pedophilia 18 months before it all started happening. Clearly, these things are just, again, more fakery.
Well, yeah. Well, that means, yeah, exactly. This is all scheduled on, just like all these psyops in the United States are scheduled the day of or day after some significant political or otherwise important announcement regarding some major distasteful thing to the public.
Yeah,
and therefore it drowns out instantly any reaction because everyone's being programmed by the terror mind control on CNN and Fox and whatnot.
Yeah, and every one of those days you'll look for some legislation that's been promulgated which is quite appalling that just gets not observed. I'm sure that's what happened on the day that the Federal Reserve got promulgated.
I'm sure it was as well, yeah.
All right. I think I'm better move on and take the dogs for a walk and so on.
All right. Very nice to chat with you again. Dal asks why we let you spread disinfo earlier in the week on the chat. By the way, the chat scrolled by too fast for most people to read it. If anyone has any decent links or reasonable links, put them in save chat. So we can at least follow them easily and in a threaded fashion, savechat.fakeologist.com, please. But Dal was saying that, you know, why do I let you post on Dallas Goldbug? I think we have a gentleman's agreement that, in the sense most people know I don't believe in or agree with it, anything Dallas says, but I'm not going to necessarily spend my time challenging it. And by the way, I do eventually, when I have a more even schedule, want to have a chat with him as well. So don't think I'm ignoring it. It's just I haven't done anything with anybody. So as soon as my summer schedule gets weeded out, I'll try and find a couple hours where I can be behind the console.
I think that'll be the biggest downloaded radio talk of all time.
Yeah, I don't know. Not that many people listen to me. Maybe to him, they'll find the interview through him, but not through me. But yeah,
I reckon it'll go viral.
Well, I don't know if I'll have enough interesting questions to challenge him. I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe you'll make it viral if you come on. I don't know. But it's interesting. Yeah. So we'll listen to you on Blog Talk Radio. When is that coming on? How many minutes from now?
It must be. 26 minutes will be, so it must be about 1 hour and 26 minutes away.
Okay, so if anyone's listening live, psychologist.com/radio3, they can tune in. I hear Rollo from Australia.
I'll ask Johnny if that's okay. There's no reason why anyone can stop you anyway, is there, Rollo?
I wouldn't do it if I wasn't allowed. I was just going to ask Ab, you sound like you're winding up, guys. Are you going to make it tonight for Radio Rollo, or otherwise you've already had a chat today? Sushi said he might be here at 8.
No, it's just my schedule this weekend is different because I'm not doing my normal thing, so that I'm dead asleep at that time, unfortunately.
All right.
So unless you want to move it, even if you move it tomorrow, I'm totally tied up tomorrow. So if you want to move it because I'm not there, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Or you don't even have to do it if you don't want to, Rollo. It's totally up to you.
Okay. No worries.
But I can't be there tomorrow.
Well, I'm just asking Johnny Galvin if he's happy, if he's happy for you to stream it.
Okay. Yep. Cool. I'll do that for you.
So he should maybe answer me in the next little while.
How long does it go for?
Well, it's not really that complicated a discussion. It depends if people ask me any questions. I would have thought 25 minutes would do it cold.
Yeah, sure. I'll stream it.
I mean, how complicated is it to explain to people why there's no vacuum?
Well, there's a dome up there, isn't there?
Well, there has to be something is all I'm suggesting to you, Rollo. But all we know is that you cannot have a vacuum intermittently connected with an atmosphere without something in between.
Of course. We've done that down on Earth where they suck. They can get almost a perfect vacuum, can't they? When those glass jars where they pump all the air out.
Not with those, but they do it with various complicated devices where they create quite a small space, a very, very near level. Yeah. The problem then becomes at some stage that the material, the metals and so on that form the chamber, then start to volatilize.
Imagine. How long have you guys been going for today?
Oh, not long, just half an hour. But Rolls, what time are you? I could maybe, I have to take a break, a dinner break, but maybe if you want, we can do an hour in the next couple hours. I have to end it early because I got to go.
Won't that be when Frank's on? Frank said he's starting in about an hour and a half. Is that right?
Well yeah, I got to be out, go out for about an hour, then maybe come back for another hour, and then I have to hit the hay.
All right, then. I'll tell you what. I've got a pre-record ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, and that I don't know how long that is. I was going to cut up that thing that Carol Thomas posted in the chat with the Juno.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
Juno is that thing to Jupiter.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I really enjoy Carol's posts.
Oh, yeah, it's a king listen. It goes for about 40 minutes, so I wasn't going to play all of it. I was just going to cut it up a bit. But if you get an answer back from, Ab, I'll talk to you in about an hour then, if that's all right.
That's okay with me. I'm going to stay logged in, Rollo, so I'll just mute until I come back. And you'll
stay logged in as well.
So I'm going to head out for about an hour.
I'll just mute as well. All right, good to talk to you, Ab.
Yeah, all right, nice to talk to you, Frank. Frank's always a good chat, despite our disagreements, but we have more agreements than disagreements, so, that's the way it should be. We have way more in common than we have not in common with the average folk, right? Right, Rollo? Right.
Yeah. I've actually, I got that.
There goes our buddy.
I, I cut the, yeah, see you, Frank, you'll be back. That bit that, he mentioned in the chat, the 4th of July, call that Chris Kendall did in the chat. Chris Kendall was a little bit miffed that he'd, waited around and, you know, set aside.
Well, I heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for, Dallas. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. And I actually invited Chris, to talk with Dallas, if I ever get to talk to him, and he declines, so, that's okay.
Yeah. I tried speeding Chris up to 1.45, and I don't think my sound software is up to scratch. It didn't sound that good.
Well, he talks fast, but he talks normally 1.45, but yeah. All right, let me go now. We've got lots we can talk about. I'm going to go on mute, and you go too, and I'll meet you back here in an hour for another hour of Radio Rollo.
Yep.
I'll post Radio Rollo on the blog right now so people can know in about an hour.
All right, catch you then.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. There goes Ab. So, I'll play this. I can't remember. I did it about 3 hours ago. Play that now.
Oh, Rollo, can you hear me? If you can, the show actually starts in 17 minutes, not 1 hour from now. Or 14 minutes.
Microphone activated.
Frank, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me really well, like really clearly?
I can hear you really well, easily, yeah, no problem.
Okay, great. Now, can you hear this? Hold on, can you hear this? Can you hear that?
No.
Okay, what about now? Hold on. Can you hear that?
I heard it.
I heard something, yeah.
Okay, well, the intro audio is processing, so I'm just going to play this like it is.
Okay.
So here we are, a Blog Talk Radio, Frank McManus, and I don't know who the guy is, but, simulcast on fakeologist.com.
Let me be clear. Thank you.
right. I hope you heard that well. Can you hear that?
Yeah, that was no problem at all.
Okay, I'm going to have to re-upload that later with better audio. So, welcome everybody to the Full Fledged Show.
Connected. Microphone activated.
Yep, I think that can go down as the worst simulcast ever. The blog talk radio just completely crashed my machine. Only just come back. Oh dear. The things you try and fail at. Ah, then you just try again. What is the date today? Ab said he'd be back in about an hour or so. So if that's the only time we can get him, I'll just crack start this now. And I'm sure what that fellow and Frank talk about with regards to the atmosphere and what else? Oh, that's right. The page crashed and it's up to them to post the link and we can listen to it afterwards, but it would have been nice. I've done it before, I think, when Chris Kendall's been on Hoaxbusters and we've played them live and there's been no problem, but that blog talk seems to have been, it was going anyway, you try and you fail. Here we go. Let's just play this. It's Swirl or Radio Works now. Remembers that tune. It is Rollicking Radio, what, number 6? Yes, starting a bit earlier because Ab said he would be in for a bit of an hour chat and then we'd be off to Sleepy Bobos, Betty Bye-byes. It is, what, Sunday the 10th of July 2016. And I'm going to hang around here a little later on tonight because El Sushi said, made mention he would definitely come in. Anyway, I did a pre-record earlier. I have no idea what I said now, but I'm sure I mentioned the Social Service brand new album, which I was thrilled about. I listened to it this morning, and I played a track. So I'll, until Ab gets here, I'll just play that. Here we are, Fakeologist.com. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. This is the usual pre-record that I do as I get too nervous when we go live. And Ab leaves me high and dry. You should be here this week. And El Sushi said he'd be here at 8 local time. That's 8 this evening. And that will be an hour after we go live. So hopefully that all goes well. And anyone else that wants to come and join us, it's easy to do. Download the TeamSpeak app to your phone or your laptop. Or your PC, just make sure your mic's working and you type in Fakeologists, what is it, fakeologist.ddns.net. All the details are there at fakeologist.com. It's easy to do. And even then, if you don't want to do that, just go into fakeologist.com in the chat, type a tune in or type a comment or put a YouTube in there and next thing you know, we'll put it to air and hopefully it will spur the conversation along. A little bit of my Pat Malone last week. Could you tell? The show only went for an hour and half of that was that bloody awful hit piece that was shown on the ABC. Miller, whatever her name is, a journalist for 30 years, hasn't obviously done a day's work in her life. If you heard that piece, not one single curly question was asked of that Sandy Hook shit piece that she did. Anyway, What was I doing? What have I been doing all? It's been a beautiful morning, actually. The Social Service have released a new album, I see. Songs in Vacuum, it's called, and I've been listening to that all morning. I've actually ripped it, so I'm going to cut it up in a little while, and we can play a few of those tracks tonight, maybe, and have a listen and enjoy. But what was I watching yesterday? That's right, an old 80s movie. I got watching some old 80s stuff because I was listening to Chris Kendall go through the Mandela Effect and see if I misremembered some of the things. And I watched Star Wars and what was the other film I watched yesterday? We had a lazy day. It was a bit miserable here. So, but what was it? Oh, Ruthless People. Ruthless People, only because, well, there are ruthless people out there. I've been looking at this Orlando stuff, and I'm going to go play some stuff that, well, if you haven't heard it, you would have. If you're a fakeologist, you would have, you'd know about all this stuff. But I just want to play this scene. It's a classic because it's to do with music. Have a listen to this. This is hilarious.
Hey, you. You want to sell me stereo?
Yeah, I'll sell you stereo.
All right. I'm looking for something real hot. I don't want to get ripped off. You know what I mean?
Okay. You're looking for some real hot speakers, right? I'm not talking about something you just listen to. I'm talking about the kind of sound you can feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know when it comes to great stereo, you can't beat big speakers. I'm talking about big speakers with big woofers. Like this. You can get this. It has a nice little 8-inch woofer. Or this 10-inch. Over here, we have a nice big 12-inch. I can tell by the look on your face, man. You want something even bigger.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, that's right. We gotta go to the big room for this. The big room! Check it out, my man. The flagship of the entire Dominator line, the MX-10. I have a pair of these myself. 30 inches of thigh slapping, blood pumping, nuclear brain damage.
Bitchin'. Hey, what's the fucking cost?
That's the bitchin' part about it. It don't matter. If you can't afford it, fucking finance it! As big as a Subaru and costs as much. You'll never have to trade this in. This is gonna be with you for the rest of your life. And when you die, they can bury you in it.
I want it.
Good stuff, isn't it? That's over 30 years old. No, that is 30 years old now. Yeah, made in 1986, that film. So, I was listening to Chris Kendall on his 4th of July broadcast of his show. And let's hear what Chris Kendall sounds in 1.45 speed.
You should talk to Ed Sheeran, Chris. I should talk to Ed Sheeran. Is he on the call?
Whoops, take two.
You should talk to with Ed Sheeran, Chris. It's like, I should talk with Ed Sheeran. Is he on the call?
No, my sound software is just not that good. Pretty old, actually. Let's just play at normal speed.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody remembers. This is another problem with memory and stuff like that. But it was been a couple of months ago. I actually had an interview set up to talk to Dallas Goldbug. And then... like he didn't show up, and then he didn't tell me like what was going on. Maybe he had something. I don't know. Never told me after the fact. Never apologized. Said, excuse me. I had something come up. Never said nothing. So it's like, okay, man. So, you know, I set aside time, and I do this on my own time. Generally, I was like, I don't. Like I get occasional, like I was talking about last time, I get occasional donations stuff. I was doing this, do all this stuff for like on my own time and it's all on my own volition and everything. It's like, you know, somebody wants to set up an interview or something. Like that's great. But it's like, man, it's just like, I mean, my time's valuable to me and I don't like people fucking wasting my time is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, like if he wants to come on the call, he can come on the call and I do it every Monday nights. Typically at 9 Eastern, but yeah, I call in. The numbers on the hoaxbusterscall.com at the top, there's live call-in information on and all that. So, yeah, it's like, yeah, totally call in, yeah.
So that was that question was put to him by Frank McManus, who was in the chat. I thought it was a pretty terse response, but a pretty good response when you consider that most, I don't know, fakeologists or hoaxbusters or, you know, people who are investigating these lies that the mainstream media and government and God knows who else, like military and CIA and FBI and all these lying scumbags, do the investigative work on their own volition, as he says, and don't get paid for it. They're just doing it as a, you know, as a service to humanity to sort of make, to try and stop them trying to pull this bullshit all the time. So, I'll just, before I get on to Orlando, and my goodness, just when you think it couldn't get more insane, it goes and gets more insane. This Mandela effect, he was talking, Chris Kendall I'm talking about here in his Hoaxbusters call, he was talking about the way we remember things. And he was talking about, what was it, the movie Moonraker and the Jaws scene where he meets the girl. He doesn't have braces. But he also got onto the movie Star Wars. And he said, does Darth Vader say, Luke, I am your father, or just say, I am your father? Let's have a listen.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No, I am your father.
Yeah, so he was right. I am your father, not Luke, I am your father. It would have made no sense. Yes, I'm not a nerd. I know little to nothing about Star Wars or old films or nerdy films like that. But I do remember someone years ago saying hand shot first. It was a big deal for all these Star Wars nerds. And I don't know if that is a case of the Mandela effect or more to do with George Lucas when he re-released I think it was Star Wars, the first one. He re-changed film. So Han Solo didn't shoot the guys, like just murders him. Like, he actually changed it. So the dude he shot in the bar shot first. And I'm sure that pissed a lot of nerdy Star Wars fans out there. But that's, I don't know. I think Ab and I discussed that whole Mandela thing that's taken over YouTube thing pretty good length a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to go into that again. But I just want to get back to Orlando, and I've been looking during the week at, well, firstly, the 49 celebutards that are reading out the background stories to these imaginary people. There's nothing about Orlando that is legit, in my opinion. I mean, there are so many people that have done work. We've all got access to Google Maps and Google Street View and Google Earth now. And they can see basically what's happened. They've set up on that corner there in front of that pink building, and then there's that Dunkin' Donuts and another shop, and then there's the Pulse way up the road up there. And carrying them the way they did past the camera, that first piece of footage we saw on the Russia Today, just makes absolutely no sense, and everybody's shot in the leg, and people start dancing around after they think the camera's off them, and like, hold on, 49 dead. And then they have Jane Fonda's and your Caitlyn weird-ass Jenner's and that dude from A Few Good Men all saying obituaries, not obituaries, the pass of these 49 fictional, I say, you know, pretend characters that were supposedly murdered. Not one has since died. I think, like, with all the injuries, one of them might have died, but that doesn't fit the narrative. You've just got to hold the narrative now. Once the narrative is out there, that's it. And the only injury, basically, apart from the two laughing black women that I saw, was that Angel Colin, who was supposedly shot in the hands and the side and the backside. And, God, Angel Colin, a double entendre. I thought that was more British humor than American, but he had no hand injuries whatsoever. But then what did we get? We got this song last week called Hands by all the pathetic pop stars like your Britney Spears and whatnot. Oh, that was hard to listen to. I was certainly not going to play that here. And then after that, we've got the and I'm going to play this now. This guy's in about 8 of the press conferences after and this is thanks to Kernsey 74 again. This guy does great work. Where the police that have supposedly Orlando police that are investigating this murder of 49 people break out a jukebox and start dancing around. How insane is that? Listen to this. I'll play it now.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here for this important announcement by Sheriff Demings. Sheriff.
We're here for an important announcement today. I want to keep Orlando smiling. Keep dancing, Orlando! Hit it!
Just out of this world. This is the Orlando police dancing around. I mean, it's only been 3 weeks ago that they're telling us that 50 people, including the shooter, were killed. And look at this. This is from Kernsey 74's site. It's called Orlando Pulse Shooting Hoax, Police Mockery and Dancing. Unbelievable, and he's right there. Look at all the props in the background as well. So yeah, have a look at this shit. I like to think I have a sense of humor, but this is creepy as fuck. Where's this world going? Oh, that's enough of that. Are they all insane or what? Oh man. Guys, you're nuts. Just when you think it couldn't get any more Looney Tunes, it does. Anyway, that's probably a good run into, the social service, Simon Shack's band. And we might even get El Sushi later on talking to us tonight and probably discuss that too. The first track off their new album, what's it called again? Songs in Vacuum, it's called. I just ripped it. I'm going to pay for it. It's, what is it? 12 euros. You want the full high quality download. What is it? The social service. I'll put the link in. I'll put the link in the chat if Ab plays this part of the show. But I'll play the first track. Yeah, it's called Insane. Here we go. Fakeologist.com. The social service. Insane.
I'm just going crazy.
Psychologist.com. Nice one. I'm sure my budgie chirp all over that. But thanks. Oh, that's Figure Out coming in there. Insane is, yes. Well, I figure that I'm pretty insane. I figure I'm pretty sane. But when I watch things like, oh, my goodness, the Orlando police messing around like this. They're even wearing that hair that Chris Hansen wears. Whereas the next time he was wearing that T-shirt, the next time you see me, you'll scream my name or something like that. I don't think we'll be hearing of that guy again. Just like we've never heard of Creepy Gene again, guy that could never get his story straight on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN. Every time he went on every different channel, he had a different story. So they didn't interview that guy. So we'll never see that guy again. I'm damn sure we will never see Christopher Hansen again, because if we do, and if he did tell the truth that it was all a cock and bull story, well, I don't think the powers that be would be very happy with him. So unless he loses a shitload of weight and changes his appearance, yeah, I'd say he's gone for good. I mean, off television, I don't think they'd wipe. Well, I don't know. Would they, if he started opening his mouth and gained traction and started telling the truth, what would they do? Yes, Christopher Hansen, yes. I hope you trust those people that you're lying for. Anyway, what else? I listened to a podcast I found over on Dell's site, A View from the Bog. What was it called again? Let me just look it up. Here it is, Out of Darkness into the Light. I tried listening to this. It's more esoteric. I don't think it's for me, mostly because I couldn't understand most of it. But it did have uninstall on there. Are you a fakeologist? Are you a fakeologist?
Hey, everybody. It's Out of Darkness into the Light. And I have a guest here tonight called Uninstall Media, who is a – are you a self-proclaimed fakeologist, Uninstall?
No, I'm actually not a self-proclaimed fakeologist.
No!
I've been proclaimed a fakeologist by my affiliation with that website, but I don't refer to myself as that.
Well, it's a good thing I asked you before I said you're a fakeologist. Unfortunately, I already referred to you as a fakeologist on Facebook.
I am whatever the listeners want me to be.
Oh, what a nice guy, eh? He's great to talk to. I think that time we spoke to him and Tybo for 6.5 hours was just the most enjoyable day. And, just shows you, he's not a one-dimensional character. He can go all sorts of places and he enjoys getting on radio and having a chit chat. They went into sort of stuff like lines in the sky and holograms and all sorts of things. So if you want to listen to that, you can find the link over at A View from the outsideradio.blogspot.com. But Uninstall, you're always welcome back here, and you don't have to call yourself a fakeologist. You don't have to do that. You can just be whoever you want to be and say whatever you want to say. That's the reason I like being here, is that you can play any tunes or anything you like and say anything you like, as long as you don't defame. That's all Ab says. And you make sense, of course, and you've got something to say. Anyway, what else? Ah, yes, that was it. Just before, because I forget to
I forget to do these things. So if I do them beforehand and I can get a little bit of audio before I go to air out there, it's just like I haven't had the week off or something. If nobody turns up and I can't think of anything to say, I'm just no Chris Kendall. I've only done 6 shows like this. Chris Kendall's done over 300. He can do this stuff like in his sleep, and he obviously prepares. He has to, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just has it all there in his mind, ready to roll out. I found it very tricky sometimes. I can think about, oh yeah, the perfect thing to say, but then think and then speak it at the same time. Not that easy. What was it? During the week, Ab put up a post. Let's see if I can find it now. Here it is. Okay, Juno. Juno, how to pull off a Jovian feat. Nice play on words there. Just in time for the July 4th, when the great American psyop of "We Are Number One" in quotes reaches its apex, we have the latest NASA space comedy encoded with beloved 9/11 numerology. And Simon says, "Oh dear, here they go again." What can I do it in Simon's voice? "Oh dear, here they go again. Exulting like teenagers, pulling off another good prank," in quotes. And it's pictures of these lunatics. And, hold on, there's more. This is Simon again. "To their credit, they're at least being somewhat honest," in quotes, "in their description of their Jovian feat. The people behind NASA's Juno mission rode a wave of emotions Monday night, July 4, as the spacecraft approached Jupiter and then, after a picture-perfect 35-minute engine burn, became just the second probe ever to enter orbit around the giant planet." Yep, picture-perfect. Picture-perfect, or is it? Or more correctly, still cartoon-perfect. "The cost of the Juno mission and its 9 science instruments is well over $1.1 billion, of course." And during the week, a fakeologist by the name of Carol Thomas. Let me see if I get that name right. I don't want to get a name wrong. Yep, Carol Thomas, that's right. And she put a YouTube in there of a fella doing basically what I used to do with Mark Kelly, that big fat astronaut who pretended he was on the ISS. And this fella is called We Are All Creations, I think, is the name of his YouTube. It goes for 40 minutes. Now, that's a bit long, so I might cut it down a bit and take the best bits and play a bit of that. It looks like Ab's going to air at the moment. It's written in the chat there.
Hello.
Hello, liar.
My name is DC Eagle of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. Happy 4th of July, everybody. As you can tell by the expressions of the people to my left, it's been a great Independence Day here at JPL. And here to talk about the NASA Juno mission at Jupiter, we have with us today, Jeff Yoder.
Hello, liar.
Acting Associate.
Acting, yeah, that's for sure.
Administrator, NASA Science Mission Directorate, NASA Headquarters in Washington. Diane Brown.
Hello, liar.
Juno Program Executive, NASA Washington. Scott Bolton.
Hey, what's up, liar?
Juno Principal Investigator, Southwest Research Institute, San Antonio. Rick Nybakken.
Hello, liar.
Juno Project Manager from JPL. Guy Butelschies, Director.
Hey, what's happening, liar?
Interplanetary Missions, Lockheed Martin Space Systems, Denver, Colorado.
And professional liar.
Steve Levin.
Hey, liar. How are you?
Juno Project Scientist from JPL. And to start things off, we'll go to Jeff Yoder. Jeff?
Thanks. What a feeling. A mission of this complexity to accomplish tonight is just truly amazing. And it really highlights the partnership and the teamwork between NASA and our contractors and our partners to be able to achieve this amazing, amazing mission. But you know, there's one group that I also want to thank, and that's the families who really sacrificed their time to allow the scientists and engineers to spend the long days, the travel, to make this happen. So to the family, thank you. You are part of this mission. We could like to roll a short video that will show some of the stress, the anxiety, the excitement that led up to tonight. So if we could roll the video, please.
Oh, please do.
systems of SNAP.
Good, Nav.
Yeah, we see the expected sharp shift upward in the Doppler residuals, indicating the main engine has started.
Copy that. Let's do the confirmation. All stations on June Accord, this time we see the tone for minimum burn timer. Almost there.
Well, they do a lot of celebrating.
All stations on June Accord, we have the tone for burn cutoff on Delta B. Ground and go move, Joe move, Juno. Welcome to
Jupiter. Burpee time was 21.02 seconds, only differing 1 second off of the pre-burn predictions.
Wow.
Again, very happy that you could share this moment with us. Let me turn this over now to Diane Brown.
I was asked to talk about what it feels like to have this success, and it's just, I mean, it's overwhelming. The team, the amount of time and effort everyone put into this, and the risks that were overcome, it's amazing. I mean, the more you know about the mission, you know just how tricky this was. And
Yeah, you're not kidding, lady.
Have it be flawless. I mean, I really can't put it into words. You imagine what it might feel like? But
to steal $1 billion from people?
Actually have it to know that we can all go to bed tonight, not worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. Nobody's going to tell on you, are they, lady? Because everybody got a piece of that pie. Big laughs.
Awesome. So that's really all I can say. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that's all she can say because there is no spacecraft. Nothing technical to talk about, right, lady?
Scott, how do you feel?
NASA did it again.
Yeah.
That says it all to me. And I am so happy to be part of the team that did that. I mean, this team has worked so hard, and we have just such great people.
None of that means anything. Doesn't mean any of your mission was real whatsoever.
And it's just it's almost like a dream coming true.
There you go. Now you're talking. It's just a dream, homie.
Right here. And,
but you know it's a lie.
You know, I had to go back and get my family and drive them in here this earlier this evening. And they get in the car and they live this. I mean, my kids are, you know, 12 and 13 and their whole life has been Juno, basically. And I'm driving in, and I said, so that's it. I just want you guys to remember there's some risk here tonight, you know. I said, by the time we're driving back to the hotel tonight, either we're going to be in orbit or we won't.
Wow, so risky.
And we're in.
That is very technical.
And now the fun begins. The science. Let me turn it over to Rick. Tell you more about what happened tonight.
In a minute, but first we have to take care of some business. So we prepared a contingency communications procedure. And guess what? We don't need that anymore. So tonight, through tones, Juno sang to us, and it was a song of perfection. You realize that after $1.7 billion, they're going to kill me. After a 1.7 billion mile journey, we hit our burn targets within 1 second on a target that was just tens of kilometers large. Isn't that incredible? That's how good our team is.
But you can't keep from hitting the microphone in front of you.
And that's how well the Juno spacecraft performed tonight. You see a handful of people up here, but what we represent is a team of almost 900 people that built and launched Juno.
850 million divided by 900 people. Sounds like pretty good paychecks.
And roughly 300 people that operated it and got us all the way through into Jupiter orbit tonight. And we have a lot of team members here with us, so I'd like to shout out to our team members here in Pasadena. And we also have team members in Denver, Colorado, Lockheed Martin. So I'd like to say congratulations to the team. You are the best. You nailed it tonight. You done? Thank you.
There's a saying, you know, it's not rocket science. Well, today, yeah, it really was rocket science, okay? So to put a spacecraft in orbit around the most intense planet in the solar system, you've got to fire the main engine at exactly the right time, at exactly the right place. That's not easy. And it may look easy when you watch it, but behind the scenes, there's a tremendous amount of work that goes on.
I thought you were addressing the people who are behind the scenes right now.
There's a tremendous amount of pride and dedication.
Pride was the first sin ever. Dedication doesn't really mean anything, doesn't mean it's real.
Passion. That this
passion doesn't make it real either.
Team has put into the...
There's people who have determination and passion about Star Trek, about Lord of the Rings, about Harry Potter. Did it make them real? No.
And I just couldn't be prouder to be part of this partnership with NASA. Putting an orbiter around Jupiter is, you know, that's the reason we all go into this profession. Is you know, it's science fiction. And
oh, it's science fiction. You said it, homie.
Yet it's fact.
Yet it's fact. Yeah, it's a fact that it's science fiction. Can I hear that again?
Putting an orbiter around Jupiter is, you know, that's the reason we all go into this profession. Is you know, it's science fiction, and yet it's fact.
Yep, it's fact that it's science fiction.
And so the spacecraft performed extremely well. We fired our main engine. Right now we've only got tones, and we talked to you a little bit about tones, which is kind of a very low data rate, that kind of gives you some milestones, gives you some basic facts about how the spacecraft is doing. But we're just now, we've got the spacecraft back pointed at the sun, and the antenna back on Earth. We're starting to get the higher rate data down. And so we've got a kind of a long night ahead of us, because we're going to be going through that data in meticulous detail to make sure that the spacecraft is healthy and that we're prepared to go forward to the rest of the mission, which is why we're here to get all that great science. Preliminary looks are that the spacecraft is performing well. It did everything that it needed to do, and so we're very pleased with its performance. But again, we've got a lot of work in front of us to really dive into that and see how it's going to do. But looking ahead, we're anxious to hear the navigation performance and the orbit we're in, and then looking ahead to really starting to get Scott and all his science team, all that great science data, which is why we're there. So thank you. So I'm going to turn it over to Steve.
So you get a really great dedicated team of a lot of people working really hard for a really long time. You can do some amazing things. And it's amazing. It feels wonderful. And it's also just the beginning. So I want to remind you all, we're looking forward to turning the science instruments back on in a couple of days. And what I'm really looking forward to is getting up close and personal with Jupiter in about 53 days on August 27th with all of our science instruments on and taking data and see what we can find. Thanks for a great night to the whole team, and I guess back to Scott.
Oh, we're there. We're in orbit. We conquered Jupiter.
Such technical talk the whole time. Science instruments. We're going to start doing science. The heck, man? It's just a general word. Nothing technical has been spoke at all.
So, as many of you may know, we were so focused on this tricky maneuver tonight that we shut off all the instruments 5 days earlier just to make sure that nothing else was going on in the spacecraft. But prior to that, we managed to collect some special data that I want to share with you tonight.
Please do.
And it takes a little bit of an introduction so that you can understand what's going on. So several hundred years ago in 1610, Galileo put the first telescope and pointed it up in the sky.
Thanks for that info.
And he saw Jupiter. And he noticed over the course of a couple of days that the stars nearby Jupiter were moving into different positions each night. And somehow he figured out by that fact that they must be orbiting Jupiter. And it was a revelation, and it changed our culture and our perspective of ourselves forever.
Wow.
Earth was not the center.
Oh.
And he imagined this, and after that, for centuries, we have imagined how the planets move and how the stars move. And we've only been aided with computer animation or the efforts of Hollywood.
Ha!
Well, tonight that's going to change.
Yeah, sure it is.
Juno, on its approach, managed to capture a movie of Jupiter and its moons.
A movie.
We're going to show that to you tonight. And for the first time, all of us together will actually see the true harmony in nature.
Oh, my God.
This is what it's about. This is what Jupiter and its moons look like. This is what our solar system looks like if you were to move out. It's what the galaxy looks like. It's what the atoms look like. It's harmony at every scale.
Shut
so
up.
We finally are touching out to the
liar. Show the clip.
Pleased to be able to share this video with you.
Well, let's see it.
So we'll need a little bit of the lights down. It's a bit of a dark film. It's pretty far away. And the reason we're able to capture this video is the camera on Juno is very special. It's not like the ordinary cameras that go on spacecraft. It was designed to capture a picture of the pole Jupiter. And that required the camera framing to be very similar to your iPhone or Android or whatever smartphone you happen to carry.
Wait a second. Hold on. He just got done saying that it's a very special camera. All right. Then he turns around and says it's the type of camera you would have on any common iPhone. You idiot. Good going, liar.
Oh, sitting on a chair on Juno. Maybe right next to the Legos.
And
you're holding up your phone, making the movie so that you can share it with your loved ones or friends back home.
Well, I guess he's right. Isn't that a special camera?
Because you're on vacation. And here's the greatest vacation and journey I can imagine. So here it is. Can we get that animation, please?
Yes, can we get that, please?
Vangelis.
Oh, big epic music. Gotta make sure they attach to your emotions. That's all it is, homie. We got the globe, Masonic checkerboard, another globe. Are huge when they're on the other side of Jupiter, huh? They're like one-tenth the size of the planet. Even though Jupiter's supposed to be humongous, that means these moons would be way bigger than Earth. Watch as they supposedly go behind Jupiter. They would get super tiny. You wouldn't even be able to see them. See that one? Going around behind Jupiter? Look how big it still looks. What a crock. Epic Hollywood liar music. And this link sucks. There you go. We're back in the studio. Footage. Notice he said a search for our beginning. See, nothing Christian about NASA. Otherwise, they already understand our beginning. This ending part necessary? Well, yeah. Now we gotta just keep hearing the music? Wow. You gotta wonder how many of these people sitting in this crowd are liars that are aware of the fact that the whole thing is a giant joke. And how many of them are actually completely deluded from reality and actually believe all this vague, fake nonsense is actual, real stuff?
We worked really hard on that, and I'd like to...
Wow, really? There are YouTube users that could make that video in 20 minutes, bro.
I think that Galileo would really have enjoyed that movie.
Scott, and we're going to open it up to questions from here first at JPL.
Yes, please.
Please state your name and media affiliation, and we'll get to you. Okay, we'll go to questions from social media. Jason, do we have a question or two?
Notice no one had a question. Not a single person from the media had one question, so now they're just going to go to social media, which they could have generated these questions from anywhere.
Indeed. There's a lot of questions coming in on social media here. So, Scott, you mentioned, this one comes from Twitter user Matt here, you mentioned that Juno is going the fastest of any spacecraft. How fast is it going?
Yeah, Matt didn't bother saying the rest of his username or anything, huh?
Well, it's already slowed down a little bit. But at the time of the Jupiter orbit insertion, I think relative to Earth, it was about 165,000 miles an hour.
You just heard the man say that. 165,000 miles an hour that a man-made thing is traveling. Yeah, right. Try to find any rocket that creates more than 165,000 miles per hour of thrust.
All right, next question here comes from Nicole. How soon before we start getting information back about Jupiter?
So, well, you saw, we've already gotten some information about Jupiter. And in fact, that movie actually has some science in it because...
Wow!
You may have noticed Callisto, the outermost moon, was dimmer than the other ones. We didn't know that. That was a new science discovery. Because at that phase angle, Callisto was less bright than the other ones. We don't know why. We'll have to figure that out. We will turn the science instruments on in about a couple days. And we will start gathering data. And... we get our first up-and-close personal look at Jupiter with all our eyes and ears open at the end of August, because our first orbit is 53 days.
Wonderful. This question comes from Ustream user T. Samoloff, who asks, since the maneuver was executed nearly perfectly, did Juno save any significant amount of fuel that would allow NASA to extend the mission?
What a
hilarious joke question. Wow, she thought that was hilarious.
Basically, what we'll do is, as I said, we're getting that telemetry down. Right now, we just have the tones down indicating the completion of the burn and when the burn completed. But what we need to take a look at is the performance of the main engine. And so that'll be part of the expanded data set that we'll be getting down. So we'll know a little more about how efficient the engine was during the maneuver. And then we can come back to Scott and tell him if he's got a little bit of extra to play with.
We're off to an excellent start.
We have a question from here at JPL. Please state your name and media affiliation.
Hi, Amanda Barnett, CNN Digital. That video is pretty awesome. Could you tell us a little bit more about it, Scott, and a little bit why that's so significant, seeing the motion of those moons around Jupiter?
Sure. I mean, you know, in all of history, we've never really been able to see the motion of any heavenly body against another. I mean, Juno managed to get, when we flew by the Earth...
Did you hear him say that?
We saw... we were able
to just said they've never been able to get that kind of footage till now.
Together. but we couldn't see the whole orbit. But we couldn't see the whole orbit. And I think when you can first realize how that works, you have multiple moons, the Galilean moons, going around Jupiter, and each one is going around at a different speed based on its distance away from the planet. I mean, this is the key of our solar system and its disciples.
This thing does not want to make it through.
It's also representative of nature. This is how we look. That's a mini solar system. So I think it's very significant because we're finally able to see video, real pictures, this motion, and we've only been able to imagine it up till today.
Thank you, Scott. And I believe we have a call from Ken Kramer at University Today. Ken?
Hey, thanks for taking my question, and congratulations on a great day. My question is, actually, I believe you have changed and enhanced this mission in the orbital plan. You've gone originally from 11 days and 33 orbits.
33?
14 days and 37 orbits.
Did you notice he said 11 days and 33? That's 11 and 33 right there in your face.
And a year to 20 months. So I'm wondering, how did you manage to do this? Tell us a little bit about that planning and changing, especially in light of you have these radiation hazards. So you can tell us a little bit about that. Thank you.
What?
Okay. I've been voted to take out. So originally our concept was 11 days, and the 33 orbits was the 33 science orbits. There was always
science.
Some phasing orbit that
needed science orbit, you guys. Orbit,
and we didn't usually count that in our total of the 33 orbits, which was really the science orbits, which were mapping Jupiter. At some point, and we knew from the beginning when we were designing it that the 11 days was an example, but there were other.
Everetta.
Roland.
How are you, my friend?
Good. I got about an hour I can chat, if that's okay. Sorry, it's a little early today.
No, that's fine. I'm just appreciative that I was just checking the chat, and you said that you were having a having a chat with Frank. Unfortunately, Ab, you might have to clip a good chunk before, because I tried to stream from Blog Talk Radio, and it crashed my machine.
Okay,
it's going. It's pretty rubbish radio. So you might want to take that part out. I want to apologize to Frank. I've got a brand new modem and everything set up here, I think, perfectly, but unfortunately, at Blog Talk Radio, just messed with my machine. How are you, Sunshine?
I'm good. How are you, Sunny?
Yeah, very well. Very well. It's good to hear your voice. And
I missed you last week.
No, thanks. Thanks for saying that. Thanks for posting it too. I hope you.
I mean, that was an hour, but that's fine. Not a lot of people like an hour. That's good. A good amount of time.
Did you listen to the show that I played? The bit of, what was it, propaganda rubbish that came from the ABC?
No, I wasn't listening to that, but I can just imagine how bad it is.
It was worse.
Is that the Juno for Jupiter and all that nonsense?
No. The last week I played a propaganda piece on Sandy Hook.
Oh, yeah, that was going around, wasn't it?
Oh, unbelievable. The Juno
that was on the rounds of the truthers.
Are you talking about Juno or the last week, Sandy Hook?
I'm talking about the Sandy Hoax one, where they're harassing. That one was going around.
Then that piece was horrible, in my opinion, because of she says that she's been a journalist for 30 years and then produces a piece like that where she asks no questions of Phoebe Jean or that Wayne Carver or the no injuries.
We know that they're paid propagandists. They're not journalists. They're just readers of a script. That's all they are. They're posing as journalists.
I mean, I know that. You know that. But it's still to hear it. And I had people that had actually watched that And still, to this day, think that anyone... Did you notice that anyone, the PK, who was it? Was it Press Reset or GFC? I don't know. And Russian Vids. They didn't show any of their context of what they were saying. They just showed three sound bites or played three sound bites, and that was it. That's all they got. Disgusting.
No, I didn't pay any attention to it, honestly. It was a brief view.
I haven't spoken in 2 weeks. What do you know in the last 2 weeks that you didn't know 2 weeks ago? Anything new?
We noticed a huge spike in the psychological operations, the media hoaxes, the hyper-realistic girls portrayed as real. It was just a few weeks ago I was mentioning, boy, how dull things were. Everyone is busy nattering on about Flat Earth, and there really hasn't been anything good in the hoaxery media to talk about, and sure enough, we're getting pepper sprayed with it now.
The Orlando thing, you must... It's so sloppy now. I get to the point where I think they're intentionally making it so obviously fake that it may be even a sleeper or whatever you want to call them can even see it.
Well, let's read from Miles Mathis's latest piece. Miles Mathis, as others know, writes essays on his site called MilesMathis.com, I believe. And he just did a quick piece on the Orlando hoax. But he also did quite a bit of information on BP oil spill, which is actually more interesting. I'm just trying to find a good hotkey, by the way. I'm on hotkey mode right now. Push to talk. Shift key. Every key you press on your board to talk has some other function. It's quite interesting.
Keep going. You're right.
Anyway. Getting back to Miles Mathis, I'm going to read a bit from his latest essay that he wrote. Just hold on, I'm going to change this hotkey here. Hold on. All right. He says here, anyway, the Orlando event continues the trend of these events getting sloppier and sloppier. And this is speaking to your point, Rolo. They are testing you. For instance, the name of the nightclub is Pulse. They are taking your pulse. They are offering you an obviously fake event and seeing how you react. They are interested in knowing what percentage of people are seeing the clues. They are also interested in knowing what those people are going to do about it. That is why they run these public memorials afterwards. They want to see if someone will stand up and yell that it is a hoax. And if someone does, they want to see if the crowd boos him or backs him. Of course, that would be easier for them to do if they hadn't already stacked most of these crowds with paid mourners and patsies, but that hasn't occurred to them, which is true. They think of everything. I guess they want to know if real people outnumber their paid actors yet and will stand up to them. So far, the answer is they don't and they won't, which is pretty much what we have said all along when we do our reviews.
I agree. I've copped some pretty harsh criticism with the comments I've left. And don't you understand? 49 people died. 49 people. And I'm going, actually, 50 died. You know, shit for brains. Don't forget the shooter. Yeah.
Well, who's giving you this commentary, though?
This was off when I was commenting on those celebutards all reading out background stories on these pretend people. I wrote a few terse comments in there. And they don't what do you call it, disable the comments. They don't care, I don't think. I think you're right. They are actually testing if anyone like will do anything. I think there's a few people that are trying to organize what is it? Currency 74 wants to ring into some sort of mainstream TV station and sort of and do it that way. But they have the power. They'll work that out before it even comes. So that you'll never make it to air. You have to be really cunning. I remember Howard Stern, didn't he have really cunning people that used to listen to him and would get onto C-SPAN and say barrel roll or something inane like that. And they thought that was really funny. Do you remember that sort of stuff?
Yeah, Howard Stern is also in on it the whole way. And I'm not sure how many of his people really got through. But yeah, that was what they did.
Yeah, well, like I said, I listen to your when you say you're disappointed in someone, like your two mate there, no agenda. Well, obviously they do have an agenda. They know where their money's coming from. They didn't touch this. That is pathetic. I wouldn't give them a goddamn cent.
And I've often thought about giving them a cent, honestly, because I do listen to them. Not the last three, actually. I'm falling behind because it is summer here in Ontario, and it's hot out, and I'm trying to get as much vitamin D as I can. But yeah, it's the way they dismiss these events. They almost, well, they say, well, we don't talk about, for instance, Donald Trump and Hillary because we really want to. It's just in the media, but that's not true at all. I walked by a couple public spaces with the tele-lie screens on, and all they are is wall-to-wall, whatever the latest PSYOP is, Orlando, or right now it's Dallas. And these guys are kind of brushing by these events as just ops, just black ops, which is what Alex Jones says they are. So they're saying they're real things, and the government is really terrorizing the people, and the police forces are all in on it, but that, of course, is not true. I don't think most of the police forces are in on it in the sense that just the leadership has to be. The rank and file is just that. The rank and file. They just pose for the drills. If they're even the actual cops, because I purport that a lot of these cops are just actors, you see. And they're just dressing up as cops. And yeah. Real cops are not even involved at all. Because every single group that's involved in these psychological operations are simulated or are posed by the intel community, or the network, as Simon Shack would like to say. And they're all there to make each of these groups look bad. So get people mad at the police, get people suspicious of the police, get people mad at the blacks, get people angry and have real people get incited at real blacks and real cops. And that does probably happen. That's the whole point of it, right? They're trying to light a fire any which way. These guys are like pyros. They're just going around lighting fires wherever they can. And they probably do catch now and then. But that is not to say that real people die in any of these events, in my opinion. Or any of the people they purport get died or die or injured. But, here's another.
I have to agree with you there, Ab.
Yeah,
I have to agree with you. Sorry to speak over you, but
no, that's okay. It's your show.
The police being act. I played a piece before where they all break out dancing to Whitney Houston. I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Oh,
all the ones.
God, that is awful, awful stuff.
Yeah, I played it before. Yeah, and I hope you put it as part of the show. You mentioned Simon Shack there. Have you heard? He's got a new album out. Have you listened to it yet?
I have listened to a bit of it, and I approached Simon for an album party, and Simon still is amenable to talk to me. He's not totally disowned me yet for my flat Earth research, for whatever good that's been. But of course, the flat Earth stuff just takes a back seat to all these psyops, and rightly so, I suppose. Or maybe not. I don't know. I'm still confused.
Sorry, this is what fakeologists is. It's media fakery, and that's what I mean. You made it a different site, isn't it? Flatologist.fakeologist.com. I don't even look at it.
Yeah, I think I put flatearth.fakeologist.com, but it could be flatologist or whatever you want, really.
Yeah, I don't even look at it because I could give two shits about flat Earth, but
I know. Well, there's lots of other stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah, sure. No, well, media fake is what I'm most interested in. That's the only, because I was listening to Uninstall Media and I played a little bit of that too on another podcast.
Oh, good for you.
Well,
make sure you put links to all this, eh? Make sure you put links so people can find it.
I pretty much explain it. as I go. Okay. El Sushi's with Simon Shack in his band. Is that right?
No. El Sushi's in Japan.
Oh man, I got that totally wrong. Oh, that's all right. I get things wrong.
Yeah.
Well, he said he's going to be here tonight at 8, so I'm going to hang. I've got a new modem, a new router. So,
who's going to be here at 8?
El Sushi from Japan.
Oh, good. Because I have to sign off in about half an hour. I got to get up super early tomorrow.
Yeah, but 8 is like 10 hours away, so you can have a good sleep and then maybe come back.
Oh, you're okay, good. Oh, wow, so you're gonna retire and then come back after you wake up, I guess.
Yeah, no. Well, the middle of the day here. So, I'm going to go off and do other things. But yeah, in about 10 hours. What is it now? It's like 1:25 my time, and he said he's going to be here at 8 p.m. So what's that? That's like 7 hours. So maybe you have a short kip, and you can come in and he said he'd make a
Sushi. Well, no, it's better you just play all the time with El Sushi. I think Hoi Polloi is on Simon's new album. By the way, I posted Simon's album on savechat.fakeologist.com. Everyone, please remember, I got 3 on the go blogs right now. 4, actually. I've got the Fakeologist, the main one. I've got savechat.fakeologist.com. I've got flatearth.fakeologist.com. And I've got moreab.fakeologist.com. I got 4 blogs that are public. So people should check them all out. I also got fakeologist.com/forums, where any member can start their own thread. So I've got lots of content for anyone who wants to find it. I know it's poorly laid out, and I get a lot of complaints, and I have to figure it out myself again and try and start navigating. But I did post Simon's latest album. It's only 12 euros, and I suggest everyone buy it. I bought it because this is Simon's only form of income, apparently.
I'm going to buy it. And, I played the first track, Insane, just before. And, Yep.
Well, do you want me to play By the Balls?
Do you want to play?
Or can you, or actually you can play it, right?
Oh, give me a moment. By the Balls. Is that your favorite at the moment?
I don't know. I haven't listened to the whole album all the way through, but I believe.
Yeah.
That Hoi Polloi is on By the Balls. Or he wrote it. He wrote one of them, or was instrumental in one of them.
All right. Well, good on you. Well, hang with me, and we'll go with what is it? By the Balls. You're listening to Fakeologist.com. This is a social service.
Find the balls. To pretend it's necromancy. To pretend it's not game over. Excuse me whilst I hover over here. In the free air. While you're twisting. Like if you twitch, it chances.
Fakeologist.com to pretend it's ascendancy. There we go.
that was a hoy.
He made the cut. How good was that?
Beautiful.
A spoken word, but still, it was really nice. And they got you by the balls. It sounds like
it's like rap.
What's our old mate? They got you by the balls. George Carlin.
Yeah, he was interesting. Interesting character. Whose side was he on? I don't know.
He lived to a ripe old age, and I never understood why they laughed at him, but that was a cracking tune. You got any others that,
I haven't been through the whole album. I downloaded it, and you're just playing it, I guess, off the website, which is good enough quality for this broadcast, but I'll try and broadcast it in stereo when we do the simulcast because we know I caught crap or not last time.
All right, yeah, you'll do it over Skype and whatnot, and it'll all be. That's right. I remember that when you did the. Really, something went pear shaped. You could hear Simon before you was. Oh man, it was bizarre that call.
Yeah, no, it was streaming on my backup computer, and it came back through that. It was bizarre.
It didn't work. Well, that was years ago. That's 3 or 4 years ago.
I know, it's ancient history. Yeah, but we're still basically in the same place.
Yeah, I stick to, I like the media fakery angle. That's the part. I mean, I'm looking forward to hear what Frank has to say about whatever this dome or whatever separates the vacuum of space to our atmosphere, that might be interesting to listen to. The esoteric.
Well, that is the title of Simon's album, "Songs in a Vacuum."
Well, didn't I hear
"Songs in Vacuum"? Actually,
"Songs in Vacuum." That's right. Nice title. Nice picture on the front too. Did Simon do that?
Is that Hoy's artwork, or I don't know?
Oh, it's Hoy's.
What is it? What are we looking at here? We're looking at
a clown that's got two faces, or is it a snowman, or what?
I don't know. I think it is a burnt out snowman, and
he's riding
on a bear.
Yep.
I hope it's not a cult.
And it's got a sort of licorice. One of those candy sticks,
peppermint stick.
That's the one.
With a bird hanging off it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I have to ask him.
Yeah, well, Frank was saying that Simon threw a few comments in the chat and said, look, you can download this. You guys are still getting on, so, yeah, good. Yeah, I look forward to another music show. When are we getting the Clues Chronicle? Is he still editing that together?
No, well, that's Hoy. Hoy says Hoy has it. Hoy sent it to me unedited, but I said, when it's done, just, let me know, but I think Hoy's busy, so he hasn't had a chance. That was a few weeks ago, yeah. So thanks for mentioning that. That's Clues Chronicles. If anyone wants to Google Clues Chronicles, it's on my site, and it's on cluesforum.info.
Right. What else did last week? Oh, yeah, this Brexit thing. I noticed when I clicked onto Fakeologist Radio 3 and you and Frank were talking, You were mentioning Brexit. Did you hear the speech that the EU president, who'd obviously had a few too many red wines, I think, or I don't know where he was going with it, was talking about people from other planets? Or did you hear that speech? In French?
No. Apparently French is so not interested in Brexit.
I might play it.
But what was he saying? The guy was going on about aliens? The aliens were invading his house?
They weren't. Aliens invade his house. See if I can find it on the fly here. I might play it all for all our French fakeologist listeners and see if they can actually, interpret it the same way this woman has. I trust her. I've been listening to her for a while, and she does really good stuff. Yes, her name's Sabrina Sana. So here we go. All French fakeologists.
Le vote britannique a coupé de certaines de nos nombreuses aides. Et nous continuons à voler. Nous n'allons pas arrêter notre vol vers l'avenir. Les horizons nous attendent. Et nous volons vers les horizons qui sont ceux de l'Europe et de la planète entière. Il faut savoir que ceux qui nous observent de loin sont inquiets. J'ai vu et entendu et écouté plusieurs des dirigeants d'autres planètes. Ils sont très inquiets parce qu'ils s'interrogent sur la voie que l'Union européenne va poursuivre. Et donc, il faut rassurer et les Européens et ceux qui nous observent de plus loin.
Now, I trust this woman. She says she's an interpreter. Now, this is exactly, I'll turn the sound down and I'll read what Juncker, who is the president of the EU, is supposed to have said there. Just a tiny bit so you can hear it over time. The British vote has cut some of our numerous wings. But we are still flying. We're not going to stop our flight towards the future. The horizons await us and we are flying towards those of Europe and those of the entire planet. You must know that those observing us from afar are worried. I've seen, heard, listened to several leaders of other planets who are worried because they're wondering about the path Europe is going to pursue. And so we need to reassure Europeans that those who are observing us from afar. I think the guy's had one too many red wines, but maybe a fakeologist who can speak French, Simon Schack or Unreal, and that's just amazing that someone like that can get away with saying things like that. And apparently, this is what she said: the interpretation that went out to the rest of them, the guys were covering their asses and didn't give the exact. It wasn't lost in translation. The guy, I don't think, misspoke. Ab, you still with us, brother?
I'm still with you. Sorry, I was just letting you find your video and then translate it. I was just looking at the clues for him. Boy, every now and then they go nuts with posts and,
yeah.
Boy, I was just commenting on someone I watch, a vlogger named Casey Neistat, who I'm kind of fascinated by, and only because he's just so big and popular. Sure. And Hoy was thinking that the guy was a sim, but I told Hoy there's no way that they're going to be able to simulate that quantity and volume of videos. And I think Hoy agreed that he was wrong in that case.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, we can all agree. I'm wrong all not all the time. I wouldn't be here if I was wrong all the time. But I get the occasional things wrong or I misspeak. I did like John Adams when he got really pissed off when he mistook the word rounds for magazines or something and someone wanted to take him up on it. And that means they can't believe a word he says. That's, you know, people like that, nitpickers. Yeah.
Yeah, a little nitpicky. Yeah.
I misspeak all the time, but it's just part of being on talking like this and maybe you're being under a little bit of like pressure or whatever. It's easy to do. You don't even know you're doing it.
Especially when you're talking and commenting on so many things that we all do and you're going to make mistakes.
Oh, sure. But if you, the thing is when you've listened to a person for long enough, like, say Chris Kendall or John Adams or or say the How I See the World or PK or it doesn't matter. Like, you just to call them shills for the sake of like name calling. Yeah, well, that's not going to work because they get to gauge a person. Like, you've heard me speak now on your side for 4 years. I haven't changed tack or suddenly tried a derailing effort. Or I've always tried to be as truthful as I possibly can. I don't read a lot of books, so I don't have. I sometimes feel that I'm inadequate in. So far as when I listen to other podcasts, when so many other people are so well read, I don't have that depth of knowledge in that respect. But that's why I prefer the media fakery, that sort of angle, because you don't need to be well read on that.
Exactly. Right? Just give me 2 minutes here, Rolls. 2 minutes.
Sure, mate. I might play another Jack tune. Yeah, figure out, eh? Figure it out. Figure it out. One I kind of liked. Fakeologist.com. Social service. To figure out the meaning of life. I know what the meaning of life is. It's a bit of booze, a few spliffs, and talking with Ab. Thanks. That was a social service. You there, brother? Yeah, I do make vacuous jokes like that, but yeah, songs in vacuum, the social service. thesocialservice1.camp.com/album/songs-in-vacuum. You're never going to remember that. Yeah, that will. I'll make sure I'm going to put some links. We'll listen back to this, not as in a narcissistic way, but as to throw some links in.
Oh, did you play it already?
Yeah, mate. I played Figure It Out. Simon's trying to figure out the meaning of life. I made a vacuous joke. I already know the meaning of life. It's a few drinks, a few spliffs, and talking with Ab on a Sunday night.
Oh, you're too kind. It's not that interesting, then.
No.
Well, I got a few minutes left.
All right, mate. Well, have you got anything? Well, if you've got a few minutes left, I'll leave it to you. I'm going to hang here. I've got a new router, so I'll keep the TeamSpeak on all day. So if anyone else comes in and wants to chat with me, not a problem. And
this is all day Rolo then.
Yeah, but I won't be talking. But I'll leave the speaker loud in my house, in my treehouse. That way, if anyone comes in and says hello, I'll chat with them.
Oh, that's smart. And then that's smart. And then leave it on.
Yep, that's right. And then Sushi, if he comes in at 8, I'll have a chit chat with him, and that will.
You're gonna have to hang out in the lobby though, because if they don't have a voice, then you won't hear them.
Right. I'll do that then. Thanks for the tip. Okay, so you got 2 minutes left.
What would you like to get out with? Give you a shout over the air. You might, I guess, in the lobby, you'll hear when they come in. It says someone enters the lobby, right?
Yep, I'll do that.
Yeah, just a thought. It's too bad more people don't take care or take notice of the audio chat. Sort of a hidden gem, as it were.
Well, it's the thing I enjoy listening to the most. You know, I like listening to audio. I mean, like I said before, when Unreal was on that, I can't remember the name of the podcast, I didn't understand it. So if I don't understand something, halfway through they got a little bit fakeology and that sort of subject. It was almost like reading.
Uninstall media.
Yeah, uninstall media. Yeah. When I read Stephen Hawking's, or tried to read Stephen Hawking's book, there was only two or three pages that made any sense to me. The rest of it was gobbledygook. So it reminded me of when we had a young lady called Mojo on, and she wanted to talk that sort of stuff, like dreams and sort of stuff that really wasn't that fakeology related, and you kind of got a little bit sort of shirty. No, you didn't get angry or shirty. You just went, this is not the right subject for here. I think you might be better off somewhere else. Get my drift.
Yeah.
I don't speak about anyone. I try not to, but there you go. Yeah, so anything else this week? Or did you?
Well, there's,
it all out with
there's
Frank.
So much to talk about, but
no. If you've got to go,
just changed the look on the website a little bit. Coincidentally, it's similar to John LeBond's, and another one lifts the veil. But I was just playing around with another format, getting a little feedback and a little blowback. But change is always good and bad.
I've heard that Robin's having a lot of trouble with that guy.
Well, they seem to be interested in each other. They're going back and forth a little bit anyway. I don't know what's going on.
He seemed tremendously creepy to me. He's the way he looks, he's just super creepy to me. Not for me. Stick away from. I would stay away from that character. But. Yeah, them and those Weisses and those Precious Steers just don't seem like legit to me, but just there to, look, it's me. Look, it's me. Look at me. Look at me. And those sort of people just, that if I was, I would start my own, I would do my own thing and I wouldn't be hiding out here at Fakeologist, but not to say that you don't get. I like the people that listen to you because they're more intelligent than I am, and I learn stuff here. I don't learn anything from those fucking clowns. I don't learn anything off those fucking clowns over there at bloody Flat Potatoes.
Yeah, well, I don't want to. There's just lots of people. I like to listen to anyone talking about 9/11, and sometimes they dip into it, but not that much. But and usually no one mentions
and when they
form,
do
which
dip
is,
into it. When they do dip into it, it's like, I know someone who knows someone who died on 9/11. So they're basically saying 9/11 is legit. They don't go into any part of where we go, which is basically Simon Schack's thesis. They don't go anywhere near that. Screw them.
Yeah, and that's a problem. That's a problem with me, and probably you too.
Not probably, definitely. Me too.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, I'm going to roll out here now. We could go on for hours. There's millions of things on fakeologist.com that we could springboard off.
You said that you only had an hour to go. Give me one more song. There's 16 songs on this album. What one would you like to go out with?
Well, have you listened to the whole album, by the way?
I did in the background. I was doing other things. I was making breakfast for my wife and taking care of the dog. But I had it going in the background. But have you got one, another one apart from By the Balls you like me to play?
I just pick one, roll the dice, really. Oh, I see here roll he the says dice. The album art is his, done by his daughter of his cousin, Brigitte.
Right.
Okay, still don't know what it is, but anyway. Yeah, just pick one, and that'd be great. What about, I'm sure Simon would be happy to hear it.
Well, we'll go out with the last one, Solarity. Solarity. What does that mean?
Solarity. Solarity. Ooh, another reference to the sun, maybe, huh?
Yeah, it could be. All right, we'll go out with that one, huh?
All right, mate. That's cheerios. Good on you, and good luck with El Sushi later on in the day.
Thanks, mate. It's good to talk to you, Ab. Hopefully you'll be here for Radio Rollo 7 next week.
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely.
Fakeologist.com, Solarity, the social service. Thanks, Ab.
Jeffrey, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.